You know the saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. We all face a healthcare or wellness challenge at some point in our lives. The Lemonade Family Medicine Podcast offers practical guidance from the medical professionals at Mitchell County Regional Health Center about how to live your best life when your health or the health of a family member takes a twist. I'm your host, Prakash Chandran, and I'm joined by Dr. Megan Peterson, a family medicine specialist at Mitchell County Regional Health Center. Today, we're going to be discussing how to manage health at home in the upcoming flu season. Dr. Peterson, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time. I'd love to get started by maybe you sharing a little bit about the most common things that you see people come in with or experience during flu season.
Yeah, during flu season, that's a great question. So a lot of people will come in with some different symptoms, such as sneezing, runny nose, feeling congested in the nose, some facial pressure, like they feel like their sinuses are blocked. Maybe they'll say their throat hurts or that they're having a cough. The cough might be dry. It might be bringing some mucus up. They'll maybe have some low-grade fevers or headaches, or they'll even complain that, man, I just feel really tired or fatigued, or I'm starting to have some body aches.
Yeah, I've definitely experienced a lot of those things, and it always seems to come around the same time of year. As a layperson, I'd love to just understand what exactly causes these symptoms to come up at this time of year.
Yeah, so this time of year, we typically see our viruses start to come out. We'll have seasons where kids will get RSV, and it typically is a little bit later in the season, but over the last few years, we've been seeing it sooner. Here in Iowa, we tend to see these things as we get into the fall and winter months with the weather changing, and some theory is that the viruses don't survive as well in the summer, but we all also get our summer colds. So depending on the virus or what's causing your illness, it can come any time of the year, but they tend to get worse in the winter, typically because of the colder weather.
Yeah. Now, talk to us about how people can distinguish between allergies and when they're actually getting sick.
Yeah. So allergies, it's a tough one here in the state of Iowa. We get a lot of allergens out there. But typically allergies, you'll get a runny nose. It's generally clear. You'll get some red, itchy, watery eyes. You'll get a lot of sneezing involved. And typically when sneezing involved, it's a little less viral related, and that's usually more allergy related.
I see. And as opposed to, for example, like when you're getting a cold, I know there's like a fever and a cough. There are other things that tell you that it's a cold, right?
Yep. So typically if you're getting a fever, that's not going to be allergy related. Body aches are not going to be allergy related. That's going to be more related to a cough or a cold syndrome from a virus. With allergies, if you get a lot of drainage down the back of the throat, that can happen with your runny nose. So that can cause a sore throat. So sore throat can be a few different things.
I see. And, you know, we're talking about flu season, but just because it's flu season doesn't mean that what you're getting is flu related. It's just, as you mentioned, because it's colder, it's just the onset of a lot of different things, cold and other diseases that may be around. Is that correct?
Yeah, and it's a common misnomer when we talk about the flu. The flu, people say, man, I got the flu, and they're talking about my body hurts and headaches and different things. And flu actually is talking about a specific virus called influenza. So there's influenza A and B, and that's one type of virus, and we do have an antiviral for that. There are other viruses, though, that can cause these same symptoms that we don't necessarily have medicines to treat them specifically, such as adenovirus, rhinovirus, enterovirus. Many different ones. There's ones that are more common in kids, such as RSV. And the other one that we all talk about is COVID. And COVID, thankfully, we have a new antiviral that's come out for that can help like we can with the flu. And so even though it's flu season, it's really what we mean is that there's a lot of viruses out there that can cause illness, and they all cause a similar illness with these different symptoms.
Okay, thanks for that clarification. Now, you know, when we're talking about some of these viral illnesses, you know, today we're talking about managing your health at home. Do you have best practices just around if you're experiencing some of the symptoms that we discuss, how to take care of yourself?
Absolutely. So a tough part of this is it's really symptom management. You know, we can treat COVID and we can treat flu with antivirals, being influenza A or B, but the rest of these we don't have treatments for specifically, so we treat the symptoms. So depending on what symptoms are bothering you the most, we treat specifically. One of the most common things is people come and say, Doc, I just keep coughing. I can't stop coughing. Unfortunately, the cough can linger for over 2 weeks. It can linger up to 3 to 4 weeks after one of these illnesses. And so one of the best treatments, and it's actually the safest, is locally grown honey. We found that if you do a half a teaspoon for kids age 1 to 5 and anybody over the age of 6, 1 teaspoon 3 to 4 times a day actually treats cough and congestion the best. Now, just a reminder, anyone under 12 months old, so anyone under the age of 1, it is not safe for them to have honey. So we can't give it to our little baby kiddos, but everyone else over the age of 1, the best thing you can actually do is some locally grown honey.
Yeah, that's amazing. I actually gave it to my 2-year-old daughter when she was experiencing a cough. And it's amazing what a miracle it is. It's just a little tablespoon of honey before she went to bed. And the previous night she was coughing throughout the night and she just completely stopped. It was amazing.
Yeah, it can work really well. Other things that can help is you put a cool mist humidifier in the bedroom. You don't want to do warm mist because when you do warm mist, that's an area where bacteria like to grow. So that's why we recommend cool mist humidifiers. That can help with the cough at night. Other things that can actually help decrease cough is using a topical vapor rub such as Vicks. Anyone really over the age of 3 months, you can use this on. There is a baby version for kids under the age of 2, but you can put a little bit on your chest, and actually putting some on at the bottom of your feet can help decrease cough and congestion as well.
What about some of the over-counter medications such as cough and cold medicines, Tylenol, ibuprofen, stuff like that?
Absolutely. So Tylenol works great. Tylenol is really good for fever reduction. If it's more you're having body aches and you're just really achy, ibuprofen or Motrin, things that are what we call NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, work better for that. They help with that anti-inflammatory piece to help with the body aches, and those can bring your fevers down too. I'll have people pair them together as long as the person is over 6 months old. Otherwise, there are different things that can help as well. So if someone's having like a really runny nose and that's not getting better, your allergy medicines such as antihistamines, so your Zyrtec or your Claritin, one of those a day can help clear some of those symptoms up. Another thing is if you're having a lot of nasal congestion where you feel like you're having a really hard time breathing, for adults, you can use a spray called Afrin. Afrin will help decrease the congestion, but you do not want to use it for more than 3 days at a time because it can then make the congestion worse after that. And Flonase, again, we use for allergies. It's a nose spray, but starting that when you get the onset of these symptoms and you're having a hard time breathing, that'll help decrease the inflammation in the nose so that you have an easier time breathing. And it can really help when you're sleeping.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about like a neti pot? Like sometimes I've heard people say that that can clear up some of the congestion. Do you recommend using a neti pot at all?
We do. So neti pots, as long as you're clean and sterile with them and follow the instructions. Other thing is just nasal saline irrigation. So getting some of that nasal saline and spraying it up in the nose and letting it clear out and run down the other side. And then you can even use nasal suctioning, especially when it's a kid. And so for adults, we can spray that up into our nose and everything gets loosened up and we can blow our nose. But kiddos, it's hard to tell a certain age of kids to blow their nose. And so that's when you use those suction bulbs, or many people now start to use those nose Fritas or things to help kids get their nose cleared up.
So I want to talk about like the duration of a viral illness, like a cold. I know that, you know, there's a certain amount of time where you're viral and you'll have some symptoms, but after like a couple days, you might still have a cough or the color of your nasal drainage might change. Can you talk like broadly about what people should be aware of around that duration, when it's viral and how things change over time?
Yeah. So that's the tough part, is viruses unfortunately can last quite a while. So viruses tend to last up to 10 to 14 days. And so most people will start to notice symptoms in between day 3 to 5 and even up to day 7, depending on the virus. Their symptoms will be at the peak, and that's when you feel the worst. That's when these medicines become really important. And then typically the sore throats and the headaches start to get better first. That congestion, runny nose, cough can last up to 2 weeks and even up to 3 weeks. And so as long as the symptoms get worse and start to get better and continue to improve, it still suggests that it's a viral illness. But if you have this situation where you get better and you're doing better and all of a sudden you're 2 weeks out or so and you're getting worse, that's when we worry, are you starting to have a bacteria and need an antibiotic? And a common misnomer is, oh, doc, I came in and, you know, I had clear drainage, and then all of a sudden now it's yucky colors, it's yellow, it's green, it's changed. And that can actually be normal. That's part of the process of the body trying to get rid of the bad toxins and the foreign things that it's recognized. And so the body tries to bring this out through your mucus or your sputum or your boogers, if we want to call them that. and it makes them change color. So that doesn't necessarily mean that it's turned into a bacteria at that point. And that generally happens after about 3 to 4 days, and that can be normal.
Now, you mentioned kind of the nasal mucus or boogers. And one thing that I was actually asked by my daughter the other day is, if you have a lot of nasal mucus, is that something that you should pick, or do you leave that there because that's your body trying to like cleanse itself? Do you have an opinion on that?
Yep. So we recommend that if people start to build up a lot of that mucus and they're having a lot of that, that you blow it out, you get it out. Some people, you'll, especially kids, or if you don't have a Kleenex, you'll start to snort it in and swallow it. Some say that can make it linger. That's not necessarily true, but I tend to recommend to people that you blow it and make sure you have some Kleenex. You don't want to blow it on your hands, but after you blow it into your Kleenex, and even shirts, people use their shirts. If you can try to, you don't want to do that because it'll stay with you. Blow it into a Kleenex, throw those Kleenex away, and then make sure you wash your hands. Good hand washing is how we avoid spreading this to other people.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's say that you're sick at home and you've been experiencing symptoms for a while. At what point should you consider seeing a doctor?
Yes. So if you have that kind of bimodal experience, where what that means is you get sick and you get better and all of a sudden you're getting sick again, that's a concern. We worry you have a bacterial infection developing. If you start to get short of breath, where you can't catch your breath, if you have chest pain, if you have fevers that are lasting for more than 4 days, all of those are concerning signs and symptoms we need to see you. And the other thing is, if you're trying to figure out if this is COVID or influenza, there are the home COVID tests that you can take. And if you find out it's COVID, come on in and we can talk about the antiviral medicine to help with symptoms. And influenza, there isn't generally a home test people can take. So if we start to talk about influenza season, people have to come in for that. But influenza generally doesn't start showing up until November-ish into February and even up into March. So we generally don't start seeing influenza this early in the season yet.
Now, just before we close, there's one question that I always like to ask. Given all of your experience, what's one thing that you wish more people knew before they came in to see you, whether that be regarding managing their health at home or otherwise?
Yeah, one thing I wish people would know is that there are different medicines you can use at home to help with these symptoms. And so I know you don't feel good when this happens. And really, it is symptom management. And the reason we want you to help manage your symptoms at home is because antibiotics, if we use those and it's not actually something bacterial, that creates a resistance. And in the end, that actually damages us down the road because antibiotics will stop working for different things. Bacteria gets smart and they learn to work away and work around all these things. And so when we're saying that we don't think you need an antibiotic, it's not because we're trying to be mean or harmful. It's because we truly don't think it's going to work for your symptoms. And so we just hope that with these symptom management, people can use these tools at home to try them first. And if you're not feeling well, we're happy to see you. Please come in and see us at that time.
Dr. Peterson, that's the perfect place to end. Thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
That was Dr. Megan Peterson, a family medicine specialist at Mitchell County Regional Health Center. For more information about this topic, you can visit mcrhc.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of Lemonade, the family medicine podcast from Mitchell County Regional Health Center, your trusted healthcare partner for life. If you found this podcast to be helpful, please tell a friend, subscribe, and rate this podcast. I'm your host, Prakash Chandran. Thanks again for listening, and be well.